Welcome to episode 3 of Concentrated, the podcast about movies, comics, shows, and all the other cool stuff we want to talk about from the perspective of nerds of color. I am your host, Maria, and I'm here with my co-host, Eric.
Hello.
And Manira.
Hi.
And today is all about the Avengers recap. So to be clear, before we really jump in, there will be spoilers, ladies and gentlemen.
All the spoilers.
So if you haven't seen the movie yet, you really do want to pause this podcast right now and just play it on your way home from actually watching the movie.
Yep.
Also, for the record, by the time you hear this, it is Monday, April 29th. That means that the movie's been out for a whole damn weekend. So there is no excuse for you not to have watched it yet. Please get your life together. Go see this movie. All right. So
leave those babies at home.
Yes. Leave the babies at
home. Drop them off at the grandparents. Drop them off at somewhere. Just don't bring them to the theater.
Or give them a stern talking to. I'm not leaving. You're not leaving.
Yep. You got 3 hours. You better hold it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. All of that. So again, reminder, spoilers, you've been warned, they are coming. So let's just go ahead and jump all the way in this pool.
Well, at this point, I will pause the podcast and I'll give you 30 seconds. So if you didn't know from there, you got 30 seconds starting now. Okay, at this point, it's been 30 seconds. If you're still listening, fuck your feelings. We gave you 30 seconds.
Right. You clearly want your experience to be spoiled, so that's on you.
Welcome to the spoils.
All right, so Manira, last time we talked, you were clearly emotional about what we thought might happen. Now we know what's happened. Mm-hmm. So let's just start from the beginning for you, from the perspective of what did you love about this movie?
My Avenger got a happy ending. Like, he got a life. He also got to wield and command Mjolnir. Like,
there was a for real gasp. Like,
I don't think it was a gasp. If you were in the theater that we were in, upon seeing said hammer fly into the captain's hand, someone who will remain nameless literally screamed, "Oh, fuck you!"
It was me.
Sorry about your ears, but that is what I had to hear. I was three rows ahead and I heard that.
I was behind her. I was in my own emotional shock, but I did hear it. And yeah, I was like,
apparently,
this bitch
Macho
is so
Man Randy Savage walked into the theater and was very excited.
Listen, do you know what that means? Okay, I thought about it. That means that in Age of Ultron, he could pick it up and didn't because it would hurt Thor's feelings.
Yeah, he's humble.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen.
He's amazing.
And not only could he pick it up, he like instantly knew what to do. He was calling down
lightning strikes. Like, it's the best. This movie rocked my fucking nerd world. Like, they wrote it. Thank you, Russos. You wrote it for me. My movie. And then you guys got to watch it. Look at that. But this was my movie.
Gee, thanks. Thanks for letting the rest of us.
Yep.
Get to see it.
Again, apologies to your car speakers.
We should have warned you.
But you all knew this. Like, you saw the movie. You knew that he didn't die a horrible death. So you knew that I was going to be this excited. So welcome. Fix your fucking ears and let's do this.
And if you didn't know this and you're listening to me, you ignored the spoiler warning. You know, you
that's
what
you did. Yeah. I didn't do
right,
that. That's
right.
What you
this is a you thing
but
at this
welcome,
point.
Welcome. Welcome. Welcome.
Yeah. You've been warned.
We told you from jump.
Right.
Spoilers all day.
Black Widow died.
I was very excited about that. So I'm gonna backtrack, right?
Because okay,
you jumped right to
the
battle.
Right to the end.
And I think that there's a lot to love from the very opening scene when
that
when
family oh
is,
my god
it is somber
snip snap
like literally I remember sitting there and literally looking over to Jose and saying, this shit is gonna be real. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, you just off the break, this is what we're doing. We're taking his whole family? Like,
for,
like
for those trying to remember, the opening sequence is Hawkeye with his family teaching his daughter how to shoot bow and arrow and him turning for 1 second and turning back to a family of ash. Because right. they all get ashed.
We had to be brought back to what we left.
Yeah.
For those people that did not watch Infinity War again or over and over again, we needed to be brought back to where
we are.
You got
that instant reminder. Right. Yeah. These are the stakes
of how terrible it is.
Yeah.
But just really quick, and listen, you want to look statistically, blah, blah, blah. I just felt like what made it even more fucked up, because you would think, okay, decimation happens. The immortal snap, mm-hmm. half of everything is gone. But
snap, snap.
But half of everything, like in your mind, you want to think, well, if it's a family, like half the family goes.
No.
Not your whole fucking family. Like no. not
it
everybody.
It is dispassionate. It is completely random. But
it
random
really
to
is.
Half.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just, it was beautifully emotional. Mm-hmm. You know, from the very beginning, they wanted to let you know that, you know, they were not here for play. Like you were going to feel some kind of way when this was done.
The
I really, really
mark
loved
when
that.
He was looking for them.
Oh my gosh.
And we were basically shaky cammed with him.
Yeah. And when it turns back, you catch just a glimpse of that last mm-hmm. bit of ash of the daughter. And you don't see the wife or the two other boys, but you just see just a little bit of the daughter blowing in the wind.
Yeah. And I was like, look, I came prepared to shed some tears, but God damn, in the first 5 minutes, this is what y'all going to do? Okay. So I really, really love that. I think that the next thing that really, really jumped out to me was the idea. Well, I'm going to backtrack. I love Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk. I have loved him from his very first, you know, go at it. And to see the Hulk and have him just be amazing, like from the
Professor
very
Hulk.
First line,
yeah,
Professor
they,
Hulk
they,
was just...
They did the Professor, which for a lot of people in the comics, there's been several times where the Hulk and Banner have coexisted at the same time with basically the Hulk's body and Banner's brain. So they did a version of that in the film. And it works very well. And it's
it
all
works
completely
so
motion
well.
Capture Mark
he was
Ruffalo.
Very healthy.
Yeah.
Like,
he
yes,
was. He was. It was
extremely
odd because it was a happy Hulk. It mm-hmm. was like if the Incredible Hulk suddenly started doing yoga and was,
yes!
you know, just very positive
eating his
all
greens,
the time.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
But we needed that progression. I mean, he can't stay the way he's been since we met him, but he's also been evolving.
Right.
I mean, we got a different Hulk in Ragnarok as well.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and
there's
a
natural evolution mm-hmm, of the character.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the transition from, like, you know, from how he was and the battle between them mm-hmm. and then how it was in Infinity War mm-hmm. and Hulk just being like, nah, fuck that. I got my ass kicked. Like, I'm not coming out anymore.
Yeah. And even he said that, it, you know, it took him 18 months of working with the Hulk
right.
after the events of Infinity War to come to this kind of balance.
Which was good. I mean, Bruce is thriving. Like,
yeah.
Right, right. It's beautiful. I mean, it was so well done in such a major way that we brought him back and he was just as entertaining as the first time we saw him, if not more so.
Yeah.
So I know for me, I really love that. I really, really love the surprise of them beheading like present day Thanos, like off the jump, like, yo.
Yeah.
That was so intense and so unexpected, and I loved every second of it. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, not just that, like, before they even go to meet Thanos, you the movie opens with Hawkeye's family, and then they flash to Tony Stark in space with Nebula aboard the Guardian's ship. They're the only two people that survived the battle on Titan.
Mm-hmm.
And not just that, we get some decent character development from Nebula. She's learning how to have fun. She's learning how to not be a weapon. She's dealing with someone, you know, on her own level because she's very smart. Tony Stark is very smart.
Love that
and,
scene.
Yeah, like when he's, you know, mm-hmm. he's trying to share his food with her and she knows she doesn't really need to eat because she's mostly robot.
Yeah.
You know, she picks him up and puts him in a chair. It's a different side of Nebula that you don't see in the previous movies that you kind of started to get a little bit of in Guardians 2 when she... you know, she decides she's not going to be Thanos' tool anymore.
That might have been my favorite paper football game of all time, though.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Her reactions to the game.
She
her
won.
Her priceless. Child, like, wonderment.
Yeah. It was It was really, really priceless. And, you know, again, kudos, because I know last episode we talked a lot about how good the Russos have been about hiding things in the previews in plain sight. And I thought that this was another example of that because, you know, we'd all seen the trailer with, you know, Tony talking into the mask and it looks like he's all by himself. And then he's not all by himself, which is awesome, right? And I think that throughout the movie, the trailers that were out there and all of the conspiracy theories that people had around the trailers, like it was so nice to see so many of the bullshit theories debunked as you watch the movie. And it's like, nah, like y'all are just, as usual, thinking more into it than you should. Stop.
I was right for 3 out of my theories. I can't remember how many I had, but I was right about Banner and Hulk. I was right about Captain Marvel saving Tony Stark in space. And I'm trying to remember what the third one was. Oh, that my favorite thing, Captain Marvel got a haircut. She has the iconic short hair that she has in the Kelly Sue DeConnick books. So I was very pleased about that.
So pleased you spoiled me in the movie.
That's the only thing, the only spoiler line that I had. And I was very, like, I wasn't angry, but.
No, you were antsy as fuck to tell me about it.
Well, speaking of spoilers, the internet, as usual, terrible people. People doing shitty things for shitty reasons. I found that on Instagram, any comment using the hashtag don't spoil the endgame included at least 5 or 6 trolls, like, spoiling the endgame on purpose just to be dicks. And as of today, we found out someone in Hong Kong got their ass rightfully beat for doing that in person
and
at a theater.
He deserved it.
He deserved every slap.
Kudos to all of the individuals involved in whooping that ass because you shouldn't do that. Like,
we don't advocate violence.
Oh,
but
I mean, I
don't.
Do.
We?
Have we been there? I'm not snitching on that guy.
Right.
Somebody punched him in the mouth.
Fair. I'm,
don't beat up people, but at the same time, if this guy did that, I'm not telling the cops
I'm
who did
stomping
it.
Him.
I mean, yeah. But if you are going to beat up people, put in that work. I mean, do it right. Kudos, Hong Kong.
Yeah, he was left bloodied outside the theater. I guess everyone else was enjoying the movie. Good for them.
Right, as things should be. So, Eric, okay, outside of the Captain Marvel things, like, I feel like for each of us, there was definitely going to be something that we nerded out about. Everything Captain America was going to be you, Manera. I think that for me... And a little later in the show, I'll talk about one piece of it. But right now, I think that the biggest thing I nerded out about initially was the Hulk and how he was presented and just the interactions and, you know, having him be fun and serious at the same time and just all of the things that I love about the Hulk. Eric, what was that thing? Like, of course, Captain Marvel getting the haircut. But, like, was there anything else that, like, you truly, truly loved about this movie?
Not to continue talking about Captain Marvel, but when Captain Marvel came down and basically said, fuck your ship to Thanos' ship and single-handedly took out an entire spaceship, not to mention the all-ladies battle.
Yes!
Where they basically highlighted every female Marvel character that's been in the movies, including Pepper Pot in her rescue armor, Valkyrie, Okoye, the Wasp. Everyone was there.
I got chills. Yeah. Like there were... I didn't think I was going to turn into a big sobbing baby, and then I turned into a big sobbing baby through most of this movie, but happy sobs mostly and a couple of sad ones. My skin literally was, like, electric as soon as that sequence started with, like, all of the female characters.
Yeah, it was like, oh, shit. Yeah. She landed a unicorn or a Pegasus.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just so beautifully done, and the thing about it was... The battle in and of itself, obviously, you know, it's a whole lot of CGI, but at no point did it ever feel like they did too much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if I could equate it to something, to another, like, a beautiful battle, it's like the Battle of the Bastards in Game of Thrones, which was damn near a whole episode and completely gut-wrenching in so many ways, but you never felt like they did too much.
Right.
It's like... All and of the
even,
violence,
even
everything
in this,
flowed.
The final battle is about an hour long of a 3-hour movie.
Right. Right.
So, like, you know, if you've seen the movie by now, you know they reverse the snap and then everyone starts coming through portals made by all the wizards and magicians. And then it just becomes an hour long battle.
Well, right before Cap says Avengers.
Yeah, after Cap.
Oh my gosh, like I'm about to get emotional right now. So
that is when I started to get like the, oh my God, like this is the end.
Right. Because
this is the end.
Well, it also fulfilled a lot of prophecies from Age of Ultron. When Scarlet Witch shows him the future, and it's supposed to be his nightmare, but like you see Cap's shield broken in half, you see the way that Black Widow died, her exact pose. Mm-hmm. You see everyone is basically the exact same way that they were laid out after her vision.
Yeah,
can we talk about Tony for a second? No, we'll wait.
You know what? Let's just rip that Band-Aid off.
You've seen the movie, so you should know. If you haven't.
When he comes down and we are all excited to see him after he gets off the ship and Captain Marvel has saved him, his speech to Steve,
You mean he was a straight up dick?
Yeah. Because here's the thing, and I'm going to try and not be angry while I say it. But here's the thing. You calling Steve a liar and saying that you all would be there for each other and that Steve would be there for you. Steve not only sent you a letter apologizing and saying that he was sorry, but he also gave you a phone to contact him.
Which he ignored at the beginning of Infinity War.
Right, right.
Well, but
it wasn't until he was off the planet
Never called him.
Yep.
You never once called him and said, let's squash this. I'm sorry too.
It took Bruce being back on Earth to call him with the phone that he found after Tony Stark left.
So you calling him a liar and you saying that we could have done this together. No, Tony, at no point were you have been able to do this together. Because if Cap and everyone else had signed those accords, you know the government. You know the government is not going to allow that. Yeah. You know the government will keep you wherever you are and then try and do it. And then it would have been worse than what it already was.
Yeah.
Well, not to mention like, he has no past experience. Captain America has past experience being disrespected and lied to by the government, not including when he found that they were using Chitauri tech in Avengers and S.H.I.E.L.D. tech in Avengers, and just the fact that S.H.I.E.L.D. was overrun by Hydra.
Right, right.
So he has a reason not to trust S.H.I.E.L.D. and the government and anything that they say on paper.
On top of that, Tony didn't really trust them. He signed it, however.
He signed it out of guilt.
Right. And when he went there to extract information, he was using it against them. Not once did Tony ever stay.
Right.
You saw what they did to your friends.
Yeah, I don't think that your point is invalid. But I do think that it's the beauty of this story and just the idea of how you can have people who all mean well, who all actually want the same thing, but based on their life experiences, come at it from a very different place.
Yeah, because Tony doesn't have that life experience.
Right, he doesn't have that life experience, and he does have is guilt.
Yeah, every time it's from a place of guilt. Yeah. After Civil War, it's because he found out about the kid in Sokovia.
Right.
After Infinity War, it's because of Peter Parker.
Right.
Yep. Everything for him is guilt because he's not a soldier. His interactions with the government, let's be honest, has been, fuck you, I'm Tony Stark, so I'm going to do what I want. Right.
Either that or selling the government weapons, because for the majority of his life, he was an ironmonger. He sold weapons.
Exactly. Right. And what made him change? Guilt.
Guilt.
Right. So
yeah, finally seeing the aftermath of his weapons.
Right. And so to me, I think that there's a very big difference. And it's one of the reasons that their relationship, both in the comics and in the movies, is so beautifully complicated, mm-hmm. right? Because at the end of the day, you have one person that means well because of guilt. You have another person who means well because of a sense of duty.
Right.
And how do you take these two very conflicting emotions, I mean, in situations, quite honestly, and make them work for the greater good if you have to work together? And I think that speech, while it was really messed up from the perspective of like, damn, like everybody lost, everybody's trying to make this better. Tony, no one needs you like lashing out with your PTSD right now, but it needed to happen, right? Because you need to be able to see the other side. And I think that it is a valid, like in life, when you have people that go to war in real life, mm-hmm. you have people that end up on these two very different spectrums. Like they may have both believed that they were doing the right thing,
Yeah, it's very much like when you talk to a military veteran and they have conflicting ideas as opposed to someone who is a civilian who has never been in the armed forces.
Yep.
It's very much like that, but to a higher degree.
Yep, exactly. So
you don't know each other's experiences.
Right. So I think that I love the way that it was done. I love the passion with which Robert Downey Jr. delivered it.
Oh, no.
Because
yeah.
you felt
definitely
everything that he was saying. And on the flip side of that, like, Chris Evans did such a great job of emoting
that he was hurt. Yeah.
Right. How hurt he was with what was being said. And quite honestly, feeling like a failure. Right.
Yeah.
Because he did. Like, he need Tony to remind him they lost. He knew they lost.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I just, it was so emotional. And quite honestly, it's what you wouldn't expect in a comic book movie, air quotes. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it was just a beautiful piece of drama that I think just further, like, propelled the movie to just being an overall great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that we can all agree that we love the movie and that we could sit here and talk about all of the pros for a while. But as with anything, nothing is perfect. And so, Eric, like, is there anything that you particularly would have liked the Russo brothers to have done differently?
I think my biggest beef is their handling of time travel. Like,
they
go out of the way to kind of explain that time travel doesn't work, like, in the movies, which no one knows how time travel works outside of, like, accelerated time due to black holes and things like that and gravity. That's a whole nother thing. But basically, they completely throw in the trash anything about causality, like changing something in the past would affect the present or the future. They kind of throw that away they don't explain it away, but they
literally kinda, just say it's bullshit.
Yeah, they sci-fi it up. Like, oh, that's because of blah, blah, blah. I'm Bruce Banner. I'm smarter than you. You don't get it. Okay.
Bruce, you didn't get it.
Yeah, Bruce didn't get it.
Right.
Which I feel like that was another reason why they had to kill off Shuri. Because Shuri could have explained it and probably would have gotten it before he did. Kind of like how she made him feel like a dumbass about Vision.
I'm sure he tried.
Yeah.
Listen.
That was my biggest beef. That was my only, like, story-related beef.
Really? Yeah. Manera, you don't have any, do you?
Oh, no. I'm going on record as saying I love this movie.
No, I think we all love this movie.
I have only seen it once.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when the first that I saw it through were rose-colored,
right,
scared, what's going to happen, glasses. On my second viewing, it'll be, oh, well, that, okay. Well, then that, okay. Well, then, yeah, that. So I'm still in La La Land right now. So
I'll be the bad guy.
Well,
because
no, just me as a time travel movie nerd, that's, you know, that got to me immediately because I was like, that's not how time travel should work.
I don't do that when it comes to time travel. I mean, you know, I love Doctor Who and I just let it wash over me.
It would be like the time travel in Doctor Who where sometimes it affects the future. Sometimes it's just, you know, wibbly wobbly, timely wimey.
So. Right. Yeah.
Well, and so I had to sleep on it, right? Because I felt the same way. I felt like when I watched it, very rose-colored glasses, like, you know, poo-poo on you if you say anything bad about this movie. But when I slept on it, then I was like, no, but there were a couple of things that really did bother me. I think the time travel, I agree with Eric, the time travel was the biggest one because you have this whole, like, funny exchange between the Hulk and War Machine, you know, going back and forth.
And Ant-Man.
Yeah, and Ant-Man,
they literally
go
through all these time travel movies, including an up to Hot Tub Time Machine, which also featured Sebastian Stan as the bad guy in that movie.
Right. So it was amazing that they did that, right? And I'm like, oh, okay, they're going to throw away the causality. That makes sense. I'm okay with that. Like, I'll eat that, right? But then you got Tilda Swinton, like, you better put these stones back when you're done because you're going to mess up so many things. And it's like, wait a minute. So when the green guy talks about time travel, it don't matter. But when the probably shouldn't be white woman talks about it, you know, as the master of magic, like, now it matters. Like, you guys got to make up your mind.
She made more sense in a, like, alternate timeline.
No, she did.
Yeah.
But it didn't gel with
more of the cosmic sense.
Right. And I felt that. Like, I felt like that was the direction with time travel they probably should have always gone in.
Yeah.
But it was in complete contradiction to what Bruce was saying for me. And so I just felt like that was an area where it was just a bit of lazy writing. I feel like they could have easily fixed that with a couple of lines.
Yeah.
But in fairness, they put so much effort and emphasis in other areas that it was just like, I'll just throw this together and it'll work. So that was the biggest one for me. Along the same vein, for me, the issue with Nebula's essence, so past and future Nebula are tied together, but then Cap is fighting Cap, and there's no repercussion from that because he just thinks that he's fighting Loki.
Well, hers is more based on her internal programming and her being on the same frequency. She's got a unique frequency, and no one else in the universe has it except when two of them exist at the same time.
Which I feel like I've watched enough time travel movies to know like that you're never supposed to interact with yourself in the past.
Well, interaction is one thing, but like it's like being mind linked to someone in the same time period. And she literally is mind linked to her past self.
Well, not anymore because she killed her past self.
I mean, and I was there for all of that. I don't know. I felt like they could have found a more creative way to get. Like, again, I just felt like that was lazy writing. I feel like they could have found a more creative way to get...
Well, they needed a Trojan horse.
Right.
Something to throw a wrench in the plan. Because up until that point, they had very small problems, but nothing as big as a spy.
Yeah, I just wish there would have been a different Trojan horse. Because I don't know.
Well, they needed someone directly linked to Thanos. Because up until that point, Thanos was just like, I'm still doing Thanos things in 2014.
Right.
And Gamora was in all that into it. So, and Nebula was trying to, you know, get the approval of her father. So,
I mean, I get it. But again, if we have to find something wrong with the movie, I just feel like that could have been written a little better. The other thing for me was, well, I had two more things that really, actually three more things that kind of bothered me.
Did you even like the movie? No, I'm just kidding.
Fuck you. I love this movie. I will probably go see it again tomorrow. Just for shits and giggles, that's happening.
I was thinking about that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to anybody in the DC area. Y'all want to meet us at Center Park? We can make this a party. that said, I think...
A party in the past, because you're listening to this on Monday and you would have said this on Saturday to Sunday.
Time travel, y'all.
Time travel. It doesn't make any sense.
You'll see us in our suits. It's fine.
I think that the post-decimation period of the film, while I know you and I kind of chatted about it before, and I think that there is validity, to the idea that we needed Black Widow to really show how she was feeling so that her death was that much more meaningful, I guess. But we could have done that in 5 minutes and not 25 minutes.
I think you just don't like Black Widow.
Yeah, you just don't like Black Widow.
Because I loved it. I loved seeing her run things.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that. Well, I loved that part of it. But like, for example, Steve leading the like survivors group, that was a complete scene that I didn't need. I didn't need it.
I didn't need him. Who would you... Yeah, he took over Sam's thing.
Yeah, didn't need it. Just saying.
Who would you listen to if something was wrong to the planet and Captain America was like, hey, you guys want to come talk about it? Sure, yeah. Didn't know got dusted, but you still want to go talk to Captain America.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Also, there's a good cameo by Joe Russo as one of the Grievers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, I get it. It wasn't necessary. That's all I'm saying. Not that long of a period.
They have to set the tone. Yeah. Like, the first half an hour of the movie is very somber.
It is, but I get it. Like, we all get it. Half the world is fucking gone.
Half the Boo-hoo. Universe.
But Earthlings didn't know that, right? Like, obviously,
well,
the Avengers
know that. Well,
they
know there's aliens now. They've known since 2012 and
that
sky opened up in New York.
But they didn't know that half the universe was gone. Like, they were... It goes to what Captain Marvel...
Well, they knew half the humans and half of the everything was gone.
But
like, not
it
just
goes
humans.
To what Captain Marvel said later on in the movie, right? That what's happening on Earth is happening on planets throughout the galaxy. But the humans that were in that group with Captain America didn't know that. So you guys are having this session, which is you talking about your PTSD over all of this. I get it. That's cool. I didn't need it for 15 minutes. That's all I'm saying.
Sidebar, shout out to Captain Marvel for putting it into perspective when they were like, where have you been? The
saving
galaxy.
Saving the universe for 20 years.
Fixing like, every goddamn thing.
Sorry.
Right? Exactly.
Put it back in the box.
So that was one for me. I think the other really big one actually for me was that I felt like they really dumbed down Ant-Man, and not that he's a genius by any stretch, right? We know that. Mm-hmm. But like in the original Ant-Man movie, he was in jail for hacking some shit. So he's not an idiot. So I felt like they played up his, what? I don't understand what's going on. Like, well, they made him a lot dumber for comic relief purposes.
He's
than
the
they
comic relief,
to.
But also he's part cat burglar and part like hacker. But that's like me saying with an IT background that I know everything about quantum physics.
No. I agree with you. But here's what my issue is. You're right. He is clearly not on Bruce
and also
Tony's
he's
level.
He's been in the quantum realm for 5 years.
He's not on Bruce. He's not on Tony's level. Black Widow is a master fucking spy. She's not a scientist. So if you guys don't have to dumb her down to understand what's going on, why did you need to make him seem like he is just a complete, like he's Thor, okay? And even at that, Thor even understood it better. Because, listen, Thor is...
He was past Thor.
Thor is like Marvel's frat boy, okay? And I love it, and it's great.
Shout out Ragnarok.
Oh, my gosh.
Shout out to Korg.
So
more,
much.
More
yes!
Korg.
That was amazing.
I could have done with more Korg in that movie.
Yeah,
for sure. But I think that in the instances where they were talking about the plan, they were trying to figure out what they were doing, it was completely okay to make him comedic without making him seem like a moron. And I felt like, to me, in some instances, they made him seem dumber than he needed to be to pull off like the comic relief of it. Because Bruce was hilarious, and he's also a fucking genius. Like, he didn't need to be dumb to be funny.
For me, I always just thought, well, he's catching up. Because he's been gone for 5 years.
He didn't really know much about
the aliens. There were some instances where he was catching up, and I get that. But there were other instances that it felt like they were treating him like he was just dumb. And I was not okay with that. Just saying. That's a me thing. People may not agree, but I just think
they all the people in that room, yeah, he would probably be the dummy. You know, you have War Machine, who is a decorated soldier, and... You know, you have Black Widow, who is
genius.
Yeah, but it makes him a strategic genius. War Machine is very smart.
I mean, fair.
He did want to go
like
kill baby Thanos.
He did want to go kill. He was completely okay with killing baby Thanos.
You can't see it, but I'm doing the.
I was like, Rhodey, I'm with you, Rhodey. I feel that. Like, listen, y'all know, I'm always okay with being on an island all by myself on these things. I just felt like there were a couple of lines that could have been either written a little differently or delivered a little differently that would not have made him just seem like Boo Boo the Fool in the room.
Was it pee in my pants? Was it the
pee? No, that was hilarious. I was okay with the pee in my pants because they couldn't get his age right. Like, dude, I understand. And then the last thing, and this is a really small thing, but a big thing for me, because y'all know how I was going on and on before the movie about wanting all the Doctor Strange kudos given. I really wish we would have gotten more than like a 2 second sentence from Peter in the middle of the battle explaining where the fuck they were and what Doctor Strange was or was not doing. That hurt my soul that I didn't get more of that.
I love that part.
Yeah, I was perfectly fine with that. We've been gone for how many years? Oh, okay. It felt like 5 hours. Mm-hmm. We're good.
Well, y'all
and
are
Dr.
assholes.
And Dr. Strange said it's been 5 years. It's been 5 years, so let's go. That was my favorite.
No, it was adorable. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, as we all know, Dr. Strange knew.
Yeah, as soon as they got snapped back, he knew that we had to contact and get everybody out there.
Exactly. So, like, in a lot of ways, he was exactly as brilliant and strategic as we all assumed he was. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like boy didn't get no shine.
14 million tries. So
listen.
Anybody's a genius after 14 million
stop.
Tries.
Stop. Don't come for my mans. All right?
Oof. Anybody can be perfect.
What you're not
going
to do on this show, all right, is come for my mans. And that was my only, honestly, downside with it was that I just wish we would have gotten a little bit more of kind of the explanation of how he knew, what he knew, et cetera.
14 million. He had 14 million tries. That's how he knew.
And that was Maria kind of likes this movie.
Listen. Again, going to see it again tomorrow. I fucking love this movie. Let's be honest, though. How boring would this podcast be, this episode, if we were all just like, everything's great. Yay.
I've got a bunch of other things that I could talk about that I liked.
this bitch. All right. So I think that's it. And honestly, while I can say that these are the things that bothered me, I can also very much admit that it's super nitpicky and it's finding something wrong versus saying this movie is shit. Like, if I wanted to talk about something that was shit, we could talk about Hellboy again, because that was fucking terrible.
Let the dead die.
That's how I feel about
it. Yes. That's what is dead remains dead in that case, okay?
I'm still happy about Lobster Johnson. Complete different universe. I'm the Hellboy fan in the room. I'm sad.
Yeah. So it's definitely not a situation where I don't like the movie. I love this movie. Mm-hmm. But as with anything, I really did feel like in my love, to be objective, I needed to be honest about some of the things that I know someone who may not love the movie would find issue with, and be able to say, yeah, nah, dog, I get it. I also have issue with those things, but it's still a great movie, so go kill yourself.
Well, like, that's where I'm at. Listen, it's not Winter Soldier, so.
Look out for Maria's YouTube conspiracy video about why time travel is dumb and did not work, and it's literally titled, Marvel Avengers Endgame Stupid? Here's 100 reasons why. Look for it on YouTube. Don't question like or mark. Subscribe to it.
Question mark, question mark, question mark. And then there'll be explosions in the background of the entry, you know, just to make you really want to watch it and click on it. All right. So we love this movie. Like, I know that Marvel is considering the new Spider-Man as the official end of Phase 3, but I think that for everyone in the room, like, and I think for most people, Endgame is what they will consider
it is the end, but Spider-Man will basically act as an epilogue to this phase.
Right. So
it's the same way that Ant-Man did for this phase two with after Age of Ultron.
Yeah. So with that, where do you guys rate Endgame, you know, in your list of MCU movies through phase three? Like, if you had to go top five, is Endgame in your top five? And, well, actually, the hell with it. What is your top five? Like, Manira, what would be your top five? Does Endgame fall in it?
If you want to, just a quick reminder, phase three starts with Civil War, then it goes Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, Thor Ragnarok, Black Panther, Infinity War, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Captain Marvel, Endgame, and then finally Spider-Man Far From Home.
Yeah, but I would say, like, at this point, I think it's safe to say, like, first off, that's a huge damn phase.
Yeah,
but
10,
I think
11 movies.
Yeah, 11 movies out of the 22 were in the third phase. Like, that's insane. So I personally, I think it's safe to say, look at it from phase 1, 2, and 3. Or do you want to look at it from just phase 3?
Because my list is just phase 3.
Is it really?
As he was naming them, I'm like, shit.
It's 20, with Spider-Man Far From Home, it'll be 23 movies across 11 franchises.
Yeah, let's do just phase 3, because that's what I got.
All right, let's hit it.
I have a top five. If you want to do top five, just phase 3, that's easy as well.
All right.
So.
All right, well, hit it. What's your top five?
I mean, no surprise, Winter Soldier, because...
No, Winter Soldier's phase 2.
No!
Civil War is phase 3.
Yup.
Well, come back to me, because... No, that's fine. No, I can do this. I can do this. All right, then I'm going to change it. Winter Soldier was my number one, but I'm pushing Black Panther, Wakanda Forever.
Wakanda Forever, y'all.
To number one. I will then do Civil War. Then I will do Guardians of the Galaxy, number 3. Ragnarok, number 4. And then Endgame, number 5.
Interesting. All right.
That was, I will say, that was on the fly.
It's just phase 3.
Just a few minutes ago, Marie asked, and
we had agreed all MCU.
Yeah, I had to move some things around.
I don't know. I feel like...
We all just think Marie just hates Winter Soldier, so that's why she didn't watch.
She does. She is a communist, guys. Yeah.
No. For the record, I will go on record as saying Winter Soldier's in my top five of the MCU all time. It's Civil War I hate. Not Winter Soldier.
How can
Soldier.
You hate an argument?
Yeah. Well, I didn't hate the argument. I hated the execution of said argument.
Oh, I love it.
Fun fact, when Maria hugs people, she whispers, Hail Hydra.
She does. She does, in fact.
I mean, fight me.
No.
Did you forget that last week I was also like, yep, Thanos is right, y'all. Wipe out half the fucking universe. Like,
what's your top five? Over this.
All also, right.
Can we, like, just a second to shout out Thanos. Like, not only did he take out half the universe, he had the honor in saying, I'm going to use the stones again to destroy the stones because it's too tempting. I don't want to do anything else. I achieved my goal.
That is an excellent point.
Yeah.
Like, the fact, and that was, okay, so we're going to backtrack just for a second on that point. Because the fact that, to the end, present day Thanos was always about business.
Yep.
And once the business was done, he was good.
He was living on his little farm.
So it was really interesting when past Thanos came and was like, it used to be for business, but fuck you, Earth. I'm going to decimate y'all for real.
Well, that's because he was getting
Now you guys done pissed me off.
Yeah.
By the Holy Trinity.
Yep. Well, then he was like, that chick with the short hair blew up my ship.
I hate that bitch. See fanboys who hate Brie Larson? Thanos is with y'all. He also hates her.
And also, go suck a dick. She's amazing.
Fuck your ship.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. So my top five, honestly, is... Also, like, my top five, period, is pretty much almost exclusively in phase three. Mm-hmm. Because mine would definitely be Black Panther number one, Ragnarok number two, Guardians volume two is number three, Doctor Strange is number four, and then Endgame would be number five.
All right.
Okay.
Come on, big brain Brad. Let's do this.
Yeah, I mean, y'all can't say shit about my list because my list is legit, y'all.
Calm down, Dr. Strange.
Sorry.
There's only 10 movies, so she literally just named the five that she liked over the other five.
Right.
If we're just talking phase three.
I hate all of you.
Yeah, I was just saying, in no particular order, because this is phase three, just all of them. Because if there was a particular order, Winter Soldier stays number one.
Always.
Winter Soldier is number one. Fight me all day.
Always and forever.
Winter Soldier is my number two behind Black Panther. Like, if we're going all time.
It was a definitive shift in the MCU, marking the beginning of the Russo brothers as part of the MCU.
Also, spoiler alert, Russo's, for the love letter that you wrote me, please don't leave us.
Please don't leave us. All the Marvel movies.
Also, I'm very happy that they keep putting characters from Community into the Marvel movies. I'm all for that.
Fair. I'm okay with that.
Shirley wasn't about that hippie beard. Get out
she
of
was
here,
not. She was not. All right, go ahead.
I would say for mine, in no particular order, I would say Spider-Man Homecoming, because Spider-Man over everything, all day. Captain
There's
Marvel.
There's no bias there.
Thor Ragnarok. You know what? It might be kind of controversial. Not a huge fan of Guardians Volume 2.
You don't like feelings, that's why.
No.
Pretty colors, apparently.
Number four would be Doctor Strange. And then
finally, he says something that makes sense.
Five would kind of be a tie between Endgame and Civil War.
No, that's cheating. You have to have a definitive five. Fuck you. You don't get to have two.
Well, we can vote. I trust Eric.
No one cares what you think.
I only say Civil War because A, it was the introduction of Black Panther and Spider-Man into the MCU.
Fair.
So Civil War.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, you know, whatevs.
Spider-Man over everything.
Y'all can keep that Civil War love. And listen, it's an okay movie. It's an okay movie. I just don't think it was better than a whole lot of other movies.
True colors. Everyone.
It was better than Age of Ultron. It was not better than Winter Soldier.
Okay, but
truth.
Do you put, because I put Age of Ultron in like the bottom
closet.
The bottom five of all phase one through three. Like
I don't like Age of Ultron. There are a lot of things I like about Age of Ultron.
Really?
That's I like that it showed Tony's hubris.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
I didn't like them kind of rewriting the history of Ultron, but this was also before they introduced Hank Pym into the MCU. But I also don't like the relationship between Black Widow and Hulk and how they kind of just downplayed Black Widow as a person by, you know, comparing her to the Hulk being a monster with her being sterilized as her being a monster as well. It didn't seem like a fair comparison. But I do love more use of the Hulk. I like that they tried to bring the Hulk into a usable member of the team, not just the monster that rages through things. I'm always a Hawkeye fan, so more Hawkeye the better.
To speak on you saying that they used Hulk, I don't feel like they needed to because being that they went on the run and we met Clint's family then, we found out that she was a godmother. And those kids loved her. So we really didn't need it.
Pretty much.
Well, I mean, I agree with just about everything Eric said. I'm just going to go in another direction. I didn't need Wanda and her brother. I still don't. Like, I'm not a big Wanda fan in general, but more so the fact that you're introducing X-Men mutants basically as something other than what they are, and we know for licensing reasons why they had to do that, then maybe you just don't.
No, but here's the thing. That's another part of why Joss Whedon fucked up and left Marvel. He did the exact same thing in Age of Ultron. He killed an ancillary character to make a point to the movie, which was Quicksilver. Just like in the first Avengers, he killed off fucking Agent Coulson.
Right.
Just to kind of, if you have to kill a character to move the story along, then the
then it's a horrible damn story.
Yeah.
What
Ooh,
else?
Some Joss Whedon slander.
I mean,
and that's for me. I used to be the biggest Joss Whedon fan. I still think Serenity is one of the best sci-fi movies ever made.
It is.
Yeah.
But what he did in the Marvel universe is.
And he's written Marvel books, and they're great, but
laughable at best, though. Like
his version of the first Avengers, great. I'm very like if we were doing top five of just all MCU movies, Avengers the original is in my top five. But you can't pull the same trick twice and expect us to like it.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I agree. I think. See, we agree on most things. Okay, I don't agree with you because you're just an asshole. But
Team Cap all day.
Yeah, if I see another cap emoji from you, I think I'm going to scream. All right, so before we go, do you guys have any like final thoughts that we think that people should really be looking out for when they go see this?
Have a good time. Don't think too hard. You're going to get everything you want, I think. I mean, we got science triplets. We got Bruce Banner. We got Rocket. We got Tony Stark. Like, science triplets.
You got a lot of interactions from people who don't normally interact, and they're forced to because half of the population of the universe is gone.
But you know what? I feel like we got them this time in a way that felt a little bit more organic than in the first Infinity War.
Yeah, in the first one, they were all meeting each other and kind of, it was like, oh, I met you guys 5 minutes ago. Let's fight Thanos.
Right. It felt very forced. And you know, the passage of time, the decimation. Also, I don't know why we're calling it the decimation. Why can't it just be the snap, y'all? Like, why can't the official name just be the snap?
Don't try and make
snap?
It cute.
Just, as you were saying, the rest of humanity doesn't know about aliens. Like, they don't know that it was a giant purple man that snapped his fingers.
That snapped his fingers. So, I mean, I get it. But, I mean,
at the same
the
time,
news,
I,
somebody should have said something.
I would say one thing that I do not like, going back to things that I thought were wrong, I don't like that the relationship between Iron Man and Nebula kind of disappeared as soon as they got to Earth.
Oh, yeah, that's a very good point.
Because they were on that spaceship for, he said, something like 20 days together.
Yeah, 20, 21 or 27.
And as soon as they got to Earth and he like took a nap, he was like, all right, well, whatever, robot lady, I'm gone.
But I mean, he was like, all right, whatever, everybody.
Right, yeah. Here's
not,
my
not
boo.
Not to mention, there's Fuck a five-year period after the snap and before everything goes back, like, not once during that 5 years did they like hang out again.
I mean, he didn't hang out with anybody.
Yeah, he kind of disappeared to the woods and had a baby. Oh, also, yeah, spoiler, Iron Man comes back and immediately knocks up Pepper Potts.
I mean, because that's what you do. When you go out and fight a damn galactic battle, you come back and you scrump your bay and
but
you make sure they know.
That goes back to the whole thing with like when if Iron Man, spoiler, Iron Man dies at the end, you know.
Oh, yeah, no, we didn't even say that.
Yeah, it's like Iron Man gets the life that he should have had years ago. He gets it in that 5 years between the decimation and the end battle. Captain America, you know, going back to put the stones, decides to stay in the past and live a full life. So that's why I'm not like, I know we mentioned last time we were expecting Captain America to die. I think he got a better ending than he deserved. Like he deserved happiness because Captain America never had that life. It's finally the reversal where Iron Man had to sacrifice something, whereas Captain America is constantly sacrificing for other people and not getting to enjoy himself or enjoy his life or be a normal person.
And that's why Endgame will always be in my top five.
All right.
Also,
I'm just going to be the bad guy here and say it. You're right, but I think that he should have died because you are so honor bound to duty, then you more than anyone should have had, and we know he didn't have a problem, right, with mm-hmm. with dying. But then, right, so then pay the ultimate price since that's what you're all about anyway.
But he couldn't. Like that, that Iron Man was the one that had to do it.
No, I mean, I know, but I'm just saying that I would have been okay.
And I'm sure he would have had the, right. had the opportunity.
Stabbed
like,
him through his heart. I would have been fine with it.
No, I mean, had the glove landed next to him, he gladly would have put it on and made this
I'm just trolling yeah. Manera, y'all. That's all. I'm completely okay
I'm in a bliss of happiness. The troll is washing right off of me. No, but to your point, can we talk about the fact that they went back and Tony finally understood his father?
Yes,
which I did tear up about.
Yeah.
Because that it was beautiful.
It really
first
was.
Of all.
It
and
really
he finally
was.
Saw that his father, for his all of his faults, he was human. And
yeah,
for
he,
him saying,
he wasn't perfect. He was right. nervous at the same time. Right. He didn't know what to do with kids in the same way that Tony felt, you yep. know, having his own child.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
And for once, he got to give his father advice.
Spoiler alert, so we also saw Jarvis.
Yeah, the
real
the actor
Jarvis.
From the television show from Agent Carter yep. also reprises the role, which I thought was a nice touch.
Yay! Yeah, yeah. And I think the last thing I want to say before we kind of sign off is that I really did appreciate the time that they took to show Clint as Ronan, like just working
yeah.
yeah. everyone
oh,
with
yeah.
like
well, that
complete
and the,
disregard.
The funeral scene was very tear-jerky. Like they were going for it. They even brought back the little boy from Iron Man 3 makes an appearance at the funeral. He has no lines, but it took everyone was kind of wondering who this kid was, and he's
no,
aged
not
a lot.
Everyone.
I didn't know it immediately.
I knew exactly who he was.
I was like, who the fuck
well,
is this kid?
Well, what do you want? A gold star, Manera? Good for you.
Thank you. You know I collect gold stars. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I think that's the only scene that I kind of teared up, and not even at the funeral was when his daughter asked about hamburgers.
Oh,
yeah. And I was like, that's Tony's thing. Tony loved hamburgers. That's famously the first thing he asked for when he came back in Iron Man 1.
Also,
that little
King.
Girl was so damn
Morgan
cute.
Morgan is the cutest thing.
So cute.
Plus John Favreau has he's been the OG in this universe.
I think that was it for me. Like that scene, I teared up a lot in a lot of different places, but definitely that scene where they show just everybody.
Yeah, it's a slow pan, and
so
you even
sad.
See, you know, Hulk Banner, you know, still in a suit, and you see the after effects of him using the gauntlet, and you know, and one other thing that kind of troubles me is we see Scarlet Witch back, and we see, you know, we don't know where she's going, but like, where's Vision? If everything was done correctly, Vision should have been back. Vision was not a victim of the snap because he's not a living being.
Right.
He's a synthesoid.
Right. What? But if the stone was destroyed and then the other stone was taken back in time,
yeah, the
how
stone was,
would
well,
he be back?
The events of Age of Ultron still happened.
Mind blown. Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I guess.
Well, I mean, the only thing that I can see would be the fact that if everything still happened and the snap still happened, Vision would still be dead there.
Right.
So, I mean, maybe they can rebuild him, especially now that
well,
they have Shuri
I mean,
back.
He's got to do something because WandaVision. So, yeah. Like, now we know Black Widow is dead. And so now they finally officially confirmed that her movie will be an origin movie. You know, doing the Bucky and Sam show makes complete sense now.
Yeah.
And
I know a lot of people are already complaining because they don't like Sam as Captain America.
Shout out to Courtney.
Okay.
So that's a direct shout out.
Listen.
Calling you out.
I agree with Courtney in general that I'm not a huge Sam fan. However, for the sake of Marvel continuing to show the importance of diversity, I think that it was the right call to make Sam the next Captain America and not Bucky.
Yeah, I mean, even back to the comics, when Sam becomes Captain America, he has a lot of trepidation about it because he doesn't feel that he deserves it.
Right.
Which is what he said.
Yeah, he felt like he was holding someone else's shield.
Right.
To which Steve said, but you're not.
Right, yeah. It's yours, dog. Like, right. This is you now. So I'm okay with it. I am pretty sure, though, that the closer we get to the show coming out, those fanboys will have something to say.
I am excited finding a bit more about, and I don't know if they've made it official, but apparently Elizabeth Olsen has kind of let it slip that the Wanda and Vision show takes place in the 50s.
Which that
is interesting. Because now we know time travel is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also finding out that some of these shows will only be 6 episodes. They're more like mini series than they are real shows, which is kind of how they do in England. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is great.
Mm-hmm. It's smart because you can pack a lot into 6 episodes, whereas the Netflix shows were 13 and some of them were pared down to 10. And even then, some of them felt like filler episodes.
Yeah.
And shows like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and a lot of the shows on the CW, like The Flash and Arrow, 22 to 24 episodes a season is too much.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, these aren't shows where you're going to have the villain of the week type thing.
Listen, I just think that this is an exciting time to be alive, mm-hmm. and love comic books and comic book movies, because I think that there's going to be no shortage. While I don't appreciate another streaming service raping my pockets, Disney, if you're going to come correct with the Marvel side, and then I will have no problem throwing my money at you. So, I mean, I think that there is a lot of really, really good things to come.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Well, these aren't cheap shows. It's not like Netflix shows. Like, they're talking about, you know, dropping $100 million per show.
Yeah, that's a whole ass movie.
Right.
That's a whole ass movie.
They got it in 2 days.
Yeah, I was going to say, this movie came out Thursday evening. First shows were at like 6 p.m. It is now Saturday, and they're already closing in on over $300 million.
Yeah, I mean, $60 million in the preview night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's insane.
It is the highest opening for a preview night ever. But it beat the record of The Force Awakens.
Yeah, y'all. But just real quick, and shout out to our friends Corey over on Under the Canopy.
From the Canopy.
From the Canopy. Their last episode, they brought up a really good point about the fact that, you know, we know how Star Wars fanboys get down.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would be very curious to see if Endgame holds on to that with Rise of the Skywalker, is going to be bananas.
That's the same thing, yes. Where it's the end of a saga, but at the same time, like, I'm the biggest Star Wars fan probably on the East Coast. Fight me, I'll you know, but
I'll let him have that one. I'm also pretty big, like, but nah, he's bigger than me. I'll
that's 9
him.
Movies. This is 22 movies. Yeah. You have a 21 movie lead up. Mm-hmm. There are people that, you know, even if you don't like certain characters, you'll still go see that movie. It's just that you don't have any of the information that, you know, right. You just said you have all the information.
Yeah, because there's going to be something
even,
every
even
movie.
If you only mm-hmm. see one movie. Like, a lot of people saw Doctor Strange, didn't know anything about Doctor Strange, but they went and saw it because at the end you had that scene with Thor and meeting Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm. Also, get your lives together, because Doctor Strange is amazing.
Why'd you wind her up again?
Sorry.
It still kind of confuses
me as to why. Fight me in these streets, all right?
He was wearing yellow gloves, like the character in the comic, for a brief moment in that scene, but then he never wears them again, ever. So
listen, it's kind of warm.
I think it's just a quick character decision.
Making his palms sweaty.
Ma'am.
I mean, Thor wore his helmet in the first movie for all of 35 seconds.
Again,
I lost
sweaty.
My shit.
It's sweaty, all right? Y'all just need to...
He had
sweaty.
To show everyone that hair.
I lost it's my beautiful. Shit. I got so excited.
All right, guys. Well, I think that's going to be it for us this week. As always, we want to thank all of you for listening.
Thank you.
If you like the episode, rate us, drop a review, and subscribe to the podcast. Tell your friends, your family, all that good stuff. Also, you know, feel free. We're on social media. I mean, you know, who isn't? You can follow us on Twitter or Instagram. We put updates for the episode drops and other fun little things on there. And our handle on both is @concentratedpod. Also, if you have any questions, topics you'd like for us to cover, or feedback, you can always send us an email at concentratedpodcast@gmail.com. Also, just really quickly, guys, someone rated us and did ask us to do a Potter episode.
Just
throwing that out there.
We'll get into that.
But yeah, otherwise, guys, that's it. Thank you again so much. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. got to do the plugs, you know.
Right. No, you're right. I just assume y'all know where to find us.
Tell your friends.
He's right.
And the website is www.concentratedpodcast.com. And that's all I got. Just wanted to make sure we did the plugs.
All right, guys.
I don't like plugging myself. So
Manir, you don't want to plug yourself anything. At all?
No. Team Cap all day, every day.
Team Spider-Man. Captain Marvel, too.
Go ahead, Doctor Strange. Give it up.
I mean, it's the only one that matters, and fuck
ooh,
them.
All right, guys. All right,
love you guys.
Carol Kor all day.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Bye.